Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1, Jesus and Zacharias. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacharias. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature.
Two new songs?
So he ran on ahead up to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacharias, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacharias stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it in fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's say our scriptural declaration together. Should be up on the board here. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for allowing us to gather in your house, Lord, Father. And we ask you today, Lord, as we hear the word, Lord, Father, may it touch our hearts. And may we hear you, Lord, Father, and what you have for us to do as we leave this place. Lord, Father, we ask you, Lord, Father, to help us get closer to you and know you and be one with you, Lord, Father. And we thank you for all your many blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And you guys can all be seated. Thank you so much, Peter. I appreciate you reading the scriptures. And if you have your scriptures open, whether that's on your Bible or your Bible app, if you'd like to leave those open, we'll kind of be referring to those, and we'll also have them up on the screen. Today's message title is A Time for Refocus, and this is the scripture text if you want to go back and refer to it. How many of you guys had a good Christmas? Let me hear it from you. All right, a handful of you. Great. It is good to see you. How many of you were bad at Christmas, though? I mean, way too much food, all that stuff y'all had. All right, a few of y'all are admitting that. How many of you guys got to spend some time with some people that you love? Can I hear it from you? Amen. How many of you got to spend some time with people that you don't necessarily love quite so much? You better not be talking about the person that's next to you, or we'll have a fight right here in the middle of church, and that's bad. Hey, I do hope you have had a good Christmas, and we have done this. I was actually speaking to Pastor David a little earlier. We had this joint and combined service in 2019 before COVID hit, and that's the last time we did this service. And so this is a blessing to have this back on our radar and happening once again. It is a blessing to worship together with people who claim the name of Jesus Christ and yet are a part of a different congregation. Because really, ultimately, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but y'all hear that Texas is close to heaven. Did y'all know that? So Fort Bend County is better than most places in Texas because it is a lot like heaven. We are one of the most diverse places in all of the nation, much less the state of Texas. And so look around. This is what heaven is going to look like. Amen? And so we get a little foretaste of it here in this place. And I'm appreciative for the Shiloh Church, and I'm appreciative for the EHC family. And we have been a blessing to one another. And today, I hope that before you leave, if you have not yet done that, you get to meet somebody, shake a hand, hug a neck of somebody that you don't know, and have an opportunity to maybe make a new acquaintance and learn a new name or two, because we are all one family, and we never want to forget that. And the Lord said before he left this earth that by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen. And so if you go from this place and you go and tell somebody that you had a combined worship service with two different churches, you know what they'll say? Oh, that's cool. You know why? Because even the world understands that we as a church are supposed to be united and not separated and divided. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to worship together, that we can come together, lift our voices, let both churches be represented in the service as well as the worship team, as well as the congregation, and just enjoy the time here together at God's feet. Now, it's never done whenever we are meeting together until we have heard from God's word. We've already heard from God's word as Pastor David shared with us and read the scriptures as we have participated in communion. But here's what I want to share with you very quickly. We are in this time of refocus. We're in that weird place where we're between Christmas and we're not yet to New Year's. You know, there's actually something I saw out there, that space between Christmas and New Year's where you don't know what day it is, who you are, what you're supposed to be doing. Can any of y'all relate? You know what I'm talking about? It just feels like this time has stood still, right? So what better time than in the middle of what we're doing right now and how things just kind of in some ways are put on pause? Even if you're going into work, you don't know that your coworker is going to be there. The cubicle next to you is empty, right? You know what I'm talking about. And so ultimately, in this time, it is a time for us to look back on the year and look forward to the year. We're kind of standing in two different years almost, where we know what has happened and we know what yet is to happen as far as just the turning of the calendar, but we don't know what this year holds. And so as we do that, what better way for us to close this year than to realize that God is with us and to refocus on making Him the center of what we do and who we are. And so that is so important. And let me tell you guys something. If you're from EHC, you know this. I'll ask for an amen, and if you don't give me a good one, I start over with the sermon. So if y'all want to get through this, we're going to give me good amens. And I have stolen Pastor David's. Can I get a better amen? Because sometimes, you know, y'all mean well, but you don't sound well, you know. So if you hear that, I may just have to point to you and say, Brother Pastor David, can I get a better, you know, help me out, you know, get these folks telling me. All right, so here's what I want to share with you. Here's some things to learn real quickly as we talk about this passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 19. Scripture says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. That basically means he was more than likely almost like a boss of somebody like Matthew the tax collector that you know. And what they did was they would often look around, and this ties to the Christmas story in this way. You remember, because they were sent home to Bethlehem because they all wanted to be taken the census, and they all sent them home to be taxed. You remember that? So what they were doing is they were trying to get the idea of who all lives here and who all, you know, is a citizen here. And if you're a citizen, then you pay taxes to Rome. And so they want to get an accurate count so they don't want to miss out on their money. How many of y'all know nothing's changed? Can I get an amen? The government still wants their money. Can I get an amen? So this is good. I like this. All right. So here's what I know. Zacchaeus more than likely purchased the opportunity to pay the taxes. The Roman legions would enforce it. They didn't love the Jews. The Jews didn't love them. And so basically they just said, whatever taxes he says, you pay them, and I don't care. I don't want to hear that it's not fair. I just want you to pay the taxes, and I want us all to get on with our lives. Zacchaeus had probably purchased the amount at a certain price, paid some of his underlings, the people that worked for him, and then put a little extra on top, and then put a lot extra on top of that for himself. So everybody hated the tax man Zacchaeus. Can you imagine? I know it's so different these days. Everybody loves the tax man, right? I'm not even going to make you say amen on that. But here's the thing. We focus on what is wrong in this story. We focus on the wrong thing in this story. And I'm going to put this up in just a moment. And as you go to this scripture that we're about to read, how many of you guys grew up in Sunday school and you remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man? Yo, what's the next line? All right, a handful of y'all, right? He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Now, I don't stand for short man slander because, I mean, clearly, you know. But here's what I'm thinking. This is what we focus on. As we look at Zacchaeus' story, he's seeking to see Jesus, but on the count of the crowd, he couldn't because he was small in stature. So he's a wee little man, right? He ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree. These are the things that we're focusing on. You guys see what I'm saying? This is how you know who Zacchaeus is. But we're not focusing on the right thing when we look at Zacchaeus, okay? So I want to go to the next slide, and I just want to share what we know about Zacchaeus. He was very wealthy, but even by illegitimate means. He was from Jericho, which is a large city. He had made it big in a big city. And then he was a short man that climbed in a tree to see Jesus. This is all from Baker's Biblical Encyclopedia. We know these things from the scriptures. But here's what I want to share with you. This is what we should be focusing on. This is what we should be focusing on. He wanted to see who? Jesus. Because most of us look at the outward exterior and we think we have people figured out and we think they've got everything in their life that they want. And I promise you, if you looked at Zacchaeus, you would have said, that guy's got it all together. He's a success on a level that I can't even imagine. But he was not satisfied with his life. That's why he desperately wanted to see who? Jesus. You see where I'm going with this? We focus on the wrong things when we should be focusing on something altogether. Who cares how short he is? Who cares what he climbed up in the tree? Doesn't matter. What matters the most is that man was desperate to see Jesus, and he would do anything to make sure that he knew who Jesus was. Can I get an amen? All right, so let's go to our next slide here real quickly. Don't miss this. Zacchaeus wasn't in the tree because he was short. Zacchaeus was in the tree because he was empty on the inside. And if you were a person who's made more money this past year than you ever thought you'd make, and you bought something that you thought you'd never own, and if you did something that you never thought you'd do, and if you've experienced something that you never thought you'd experience, but then at the end of it all, you still found it empty and nothing that was able to actually satisfy you, I've gotten good news. You're not seeking for more. You're seeking for different. His name is Jesus. Can I get an amen? If you find yourself empty today at the end of this year and at the beginning of the next, here is the truth. You don't need more. You need something different. And his name is Jesus. Zacchaeus had everything that he could have asked for, and yet he climbed up in the tree to make sure that the one who he thought could solve that problem and fill that hole that nothing else had been able to do, he wanted to see him. And I have a feeling that he wanted to be seen by him as well. Let's go to our next slide here. St. Augustine said this, "You've made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." If you don't remember anything else that I say, here's what I know. Your heart is restless until it finds the one who created it and who created you for something much more and greater. The wisest man and one of the richest men who ever lived was Solomon. And what did he say? It's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. The only thing that really matters is if that you follow the Lord and he makes you whole. He said he has put eternity in the hearts of all men. And so we see and understand that we were created to worship the God who made us and nothing else fits right. But when that happens and we put God at the center of our lives, everything falls into place and it just works the way that it's supposed to. Doesn't mean always peace, but it always means that it feels right. Now, can I get an amen on that? Amen. All right, let's go to our next slide here. Here's the big idea. We make our commitments and then our commitments make us. We make our commitments and then our commitments make us. Would you guys say that out loud with me on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. We make our commitments and then our commitments make us. Here's what I mean. I have three daughters. One of them is here already. Two of them are coming today. Those two made a commitment to where they would go to school. Guess what they did? They met a boy, right? And guess what? They got married. And guess where they live? That same spot that they moved to. When they made that first commitment, it remade their life and changed the course of their life. Y'all with me? So what about you and what about me? When we make a commitment, it begins to remake us. If we remade in God's image, if we are truly serious and fully in on serving and following God, it will remake us, or it will reveal that we're not actually all the way in. Because the truth is, as Pastor David said a little earlier and I love so much. Everything that is not of God in me has to die if God is in here in the way that he desires and deserves to be. If it's not, then all this other stuff can stay, no problem, because he's not really Lord. He's just a part of the accessories that I got going on in my life. And how many of y'all know that God is not made or meant to be an accessory? Can I get an amen on that? Okay, so we make our commitments, and then our commitments make us. Let's keep moving here. Here's questions that we have to ask ourselves. First of all, have I decided to put God first? That's the very first question. And then we go to our next slide, and let's talk a little bit about it. How many of you guys are college football fans? Any of y'all? Handful of y'all? None of y'all? Handful. Okay. So if you don't know what this is, there's a national letter of signing day where you make a commitment to come to a school. They're going to give you a scholarship, and you're writing on the dotted line that you're going to come. But here's what's amazing. Somebody can say they're coming, and then later they can change their mind, and guess what it's called? Decommitting. Now, if you're a Oklahoma Sooner fan like myself, you've seen way too many bad commitments and not nearly enough bad decommitments, you know what I mean? I mean, like, I'd rather my team be a whole lot better than we were last year. But here's what I share with you in this setting. Here's what I know. Some of you have already made that commitment that we talked about in the big idea, and it's remaking you, but it's not good. You have already made that commitment, and it's remaking you, but you know that it's taking you down the wrong path. Just like in football, you can decommit to something. And maybe some of you today, as you stand at this corner of these 2 years, as we refocus ourselves, we realize that I need to decommit to something that I know is taking me in the wrong direction, and I need to recommit to something that will take me down the right path. And this is as good a day as it's ever going to be. As good a day as there will ever be for you to decommit and recommit in the right ways. Let's go to our next slide here as we do. Who has God put in my path to help? Now, here's why this question is important. Because everything in this world is begging you to be just like Zacchaeus. To get and get and get and get and get and keep it all for yourself. That's who Zacchaeus was, and that's what he was all about. But what did I say? He wasn't in the tree because he wanted to, you know, to see spirit, you know, period. He was in there because he was what? Empty inside. So if you're just about you, I promise you, I don't even have to ask. If you're just about you, then it always ends in emptiness. So if that's where you are, look closely and see, has God put somebody in your path? And you may be like, well, Randy, the truth is that I'm so busy that I just can't. Let me tell you something. If you're too busy to be a blessing to somebody else, then you are just simply too busy, period. Because the most of us, we keep our distance from people and other people because we just make our schedule so busy, and then we tell ourselves that we're busy. And here's the truth that we don't want to admit. We always find time for what we truly want to do. And so as Zacchaeus is there, and as he's called down out of the sycamore tree, he is saying to everyone else, I'm going to change my life, and it's no longer going to be about me getting from you. I'm going to turn around, and I am going to give back to you that I have taken from. Let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. Real quickly, you know what? I probably don't have time, but let me just share this. Here's how you know. People's lives get in knots. People's lives get complicated and things get twisted up. Can I hear if you know what I'm talking about? Amen. I mean, a lot of little decisions. But here's what I know. If you are truly looking for God's leadership, listen for the knots. If you were sliding down a rope and sliding, 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 and then boom, you hit a knot, you'd feel it and it'd stop you and it'd make you slow down. If this has happened to you, here's some of the knots that you can hear. Let's go to our next slide. If somebody ever says to you, things are just not going well, guess what they need? They're expressing to you that they don't have answers and they're searching for them. If they say, this is not what I wanted it to be, guess what they're telling you? I need help and I need direction. And do we know who can give them that help and direction? The same one who called Zacchaeus down out of the tree. This is not what I expected. This is not what I thought it would be. These are all times for you to feel it like a clunk. Stop, slow down, and realize that God has just put someone in your path that is inviting you to speak into their life. Doesn't mean that they'll accept the Lord immediately, but if you do not have time for them because you have told yourself that you are too busy, then you are just simply too busy, but not too busy to be empty. Because the truth is that if we stay inward, we will always feel empty. Let's go to our next slide. So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received him. Here's what happened. Jesus did what my mama told me never to do. Jesus did what my mama told me never to do. I would find a friend who had a pool, a swimming pool, and I'd say, I can come over to your house if you'd like for me to. My mom said, don't invite yourself to somebody else's house. Don't do that. And I'm like, why? He's got a pool. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time, especially me having a good time, you know, when I was a six-year-old or whatever. What did Jesus do? He's walking by. He sees Zacchaeus up in the tree, and what did he do? He did what my mom said, don't do. He said, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm coming to your house today. He invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. Now, Mom, I love you. You just got this one wrong, but I understand your heart was in the right place. Here's what I know. The Lord always invites himself into everyone's heart and life at some point. At some point. Usually it's when the knots are showing up. When things aren't going well, they're not going well, and things aren't and not happening like I thought they would. When all that stuff is happening, the Lord is showing up and knocking at the door, and they are looking outward to see if there's any answers out there because they don't have them in here anymore like they thought they did. So if you are there at that moment, or if you find yourself being like one of them in that moment, your best decision would be to turn your life towards God and orient yourself towards the one who has already said, I've made you in this way and I've made you for a purpose. And this is the path to fullness and happiness and the way to rid yourself of emptiness. It is found in knowing me and putting me at the center of your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Yeah, you guys were serious about that. When I told y'all, I just started over, y'all like, I'm not letting that happen. There were people that doubted, but Jesus confirmed something, and I'm really close to the end here, okay? Let's go to our next slide. Oh, no, right there, if you don't mind. Let's go back right there. So everybody's dogging on Jesus. They're down on him. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. But then Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods. I'm going to do what Pastor David said. Say half. That's a lot. Can I get an amen? That's a lot. If not, see me after and you can pass along half of your stuff to me. Half of my goods I'm giving away. And I'm going to give it to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, everybody laughed when he said that. Yeah, we know you, man. Of course you've defrauded people. And he said, well, I'm going to pay it back four times, and I'm going to give away half of what I own. How many of you would say he's serious? He's serious. You know, we would say he's serious, but that doesn't really actually matter. You know who actually said he was serious? Jesus. That's when it really mattered. Jesus looked at him, and he said, he's committed to doing the right thing from this day forward. Let's go to our next slide. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Amen. In other words, he said, I've come for people who are up in a tree because they are empty. I've come for people and I'm knocking at your heart and then the next heart and then the next heart. And over, people will reject or people will refocus upon him and follow him. The choice was theirs. The choice is still yours. Now, I know that I'm talking to a lot of Christians, but can I talk to a lot of Christians real quick? This is a good time today to figure out if last year actually put you closer to God or took you further away from him. Because the truth is that we all start off with steam and we all start off with strength, and we're going to go and it's going to be great and we're going to be better than we've ever been before. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't always work like that. And in the middle of it is when we actually decide, is it truly going to be different, or is it just going to be like it always has been? Here we stand at the end of this year, at the beginning of a new, I say today is just the perfect day for you to decide to refocus on what is actually truly important. Can I get an amen? All right. So real quickly, don't miss this. Jesus knows there's a big difference in talking it and walking it. You have just given me a good amen. I like that. But you know what I'd rather see? I'd rather see you different this coming week and this coming month and this coming year than a great amen. I love great amens. Y'all know I love great amens. But by far the better thing is not to talk it, but to walk it and to talk it, to be honest. All right, so what else we need to know? Oh, the third question, I think. Okay, the third question is, what does my life say that I prioritize? And I'm just going to share this with you, and then we're moving forward. Sometimes what you say you prioritize is not what actually looks like it's prioritized to everybody who doesn't give you a pass because they know your intentions and know your heart and know you want to do better. In other words, your real life. Because my problem is, I know I intend to do well, and I know I mean well, and I know I have a good excuse for not doing well, but I don't treat other people like that. I judge them by their actions, not by their intentions. And so for you and for me, the real difference does not come in when we let ourselves off the hook over and over and over and over again and never actually begin to walk the walk. You guys see where I'm going? It's important that we don't just walk or don't just talk it, we walk it. And this is what my life is saying that I prioritize. It better look like Jesus or else it just ain't. He's strong enough, powerful enough to change your life. But if he's not showing up, then he's not your priority yet. Make him that today. Let's go to our next slide. And this is really important. These are the things that I shared with you earlier about what we know about Zacchaeus. Lastly, I want to share this. I held this back, this information. Zacchaeus became a bishop in Caesarea, according to one of the early church fathers, Clement of Alexandria. In other words, he left the tax collecting business and started to become a preacher on a grand and wide scale. I'd say he leveled up. Now, no offense to y'all if y'all are tax people, okay? But I would say he leveled up. I promise people liked him better at that point, all right? But here's what I see. He quit his old life and made his whole new life all about putting God first. For you and for me, this is where we begin. Let's go to our next slide. And let's just talk about how we apply. Is there something that you need to decommit from or recommit to? I'm asking you, these are some questions that you and I need to answer. Do you treasure the things that God has chosen, or does it actually show up in your actions, not just your thoughts and your intentions? And then what about paying attention to the knots and serving those who are struggling? Because that's what Jesus said. I came to seek and to save those who are what? Lost. They've lost their way. They need someone to point them in the right direction and give them the gospel, which means just simply the good news of Jesus. So how about you? Are you doing these things? This is how you begin to serve and how you decommit and recommit at this time today. And then here is some big questions to figure out. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life, or is it still you that is running the show? What does your life say about your real priorities, not just the ones that you speak about? And is there ever any time that others' needs come before your needs? If there's not, I have to ask, why not? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation came to the house when Zacchaeus said, I'll give away the things that I have so that others can be blessed. Our death of self begins at the point of commitment to Christ. And so it's so incredibly important. Here's what I share with you. And as I bring this to a close, I share with you today, we see where we've been. We know that there is a fresh start. And we're standing at the two, like the intersection of the two. Here's what I share with you today. There's never been a better time for you to solve some of that emptiness, for you to give away some of that that you are keeping a hold of, and say, instead of it being me at the center, I want it to be the Lord at the center. I'm empty without him, so are you. Let's make him the true focus of our lives. Can I get an amen on that? Heavenly Father, as we end our time together, what a blessing it has been. But Lord, if there is one who is here and just simply feels empty and knows, Lord, the wonderful thing about you is that you are a God who pursues us, that you walk into every life at some point. And Lord, I pray that we would answer that door as you knock. And Lord, may we never be people who are satisfied to live for ourselves and to leave you out. Instead, may we welcome you in. And Lord, whatever has passed is past. And Lord, what is to come is what we can change. So make us, Lord, people who are focused upon your priorities, your truth, your goodness, your power, your grace, and your path for us in this new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? All right. I don't know if I did that. It's okay. So real quickly, I just want to simply say that Pastor David is a blessing to me. I guess I'm back on. I don't know what happened. It's all good. Pastor David is a blessing, and I consider him my friend, even though he outdresses me every single Sunday. We love you guys. We thank y'all so much. This is truly a blessing for all of us to have this kind of service, to enjoy one another's company and presence, to do things a little different than we have done in the past. But I asked Pastor David, I said, so what would you, how would you normally close a service? And he said, I pray a blessing and I share Psalm 20. So I'm going to have him do that. And then y'all know that phrase as we dismiss. I'm going to hit that in just a moment. But Pastor David, God bless you. Okay. Thank you so much, bless brother. You go right ahead.
I also wanted to say, yes, Pastor Randy and the EAC congregation has been an amazing blessing unto us. And I just wanted to thank you.
Absolutely. You can't stand here too long.
Yes, I know. So will you, yeah, will you just... Will you just stand on your feet? Thank you. And just lift up your hands unto the Lord and say an amen. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we set up our banners. May the Lord answer all your prayers. In Jesus' name. Can you lift your hand one more time? The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. Lift up his countenance over you. And be gracious unto you. Cause his face to shine upon you. And give you peace. Make you 1,000 times greater than your dreams. 1,000 times better than you think. 1,000 times wiser than everyone thinks. 1,000 times richer in every good and gracious thing. The Lord make 1,000 times healthier in your spirit, your soul, and your body. And 1,000 times happier every day of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Everybody, can we hear for the worship together today? God bless you guys. It has been a blessing. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for participating. Ending this year, come back and be a part of these two churches this coming Sunday as we begin a brand new year. Yeah. And EHC family knows this, but here's what we always do. I always say we've just heard God's word, and then everybody says, now let's go live it. So now you know the line. Here we go, okay? We're going to end today the way that we always do. We have just heard God's word. Now let's go live it. God bless you guys. Love y'all. You're dismissed.